مارك الصحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم
Six minutes after 11 South African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful morning here in Lanesia. Well, today is the 30th of November, corresponding to the 5th of Jumad al-Ula, 1444. I want to welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. And I want to welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, brother Bonface, and welcome our beloved senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a listener saying, yo Ustad, what is the preferred time to perform a nikah? Please give me a reference, if any, for example, sunnah time, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will give you the time, the place, all the details with the references. Where should the nikah be performed? Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A'alinun nikah. Announce the nikah. The hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Alhamdulillah, on Fridays between 10 and 10:30, we have a program Mawlana Arafat conducts it, mashallah, regarding the announcements of the nikah. So anybody is getting married this week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So mashallah, send your invitations on 084-786-3132, WhatsApp it, and then Mawlana will announce it, inshallah, on Friday between 10 and 10:30. So that is the announcement. Second one, waj'aluhu fil masajid, and let the nikah take place in the masjid. So that also is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Remember this business of having the nikah at the house or in a civic center or in a hotel and all that. That definitely is not sunnah. Sunnah is the nikah should be in the masjid. So that is number one sorted out. Which month is the best month to have the nikah? Then we see our mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, states, Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tazawwaja bi fi shawwal. That he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nikah to me took place during the month of Shawwal. And she had no children. But for her family members, her nephews, her nieces, and so forth, she would encourage them that all of you get married in Shawwal. So all this is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Which date on Shawwal did Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marry Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha? It was the 10th al-Ashir min Shawwal, the 10th of Shawwal. And if you want a reference of that, open Mirqat. Mirqat is a commentary of Mishkat Sharif by Mullah Ali Qari rahimahullah, great, great scholar of hadith and so many fields. So there he has mentioned the 10th of Shawwal. If you want the day, then the best day is Friday. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Huwa a'adamu indallahi min eidil fitri wa eidil adha. And it is Sayyidul Ayyam, that it is the best day of the week, and it is greater and superior compared to the days of Eidul Fitr, that is first of Shawwal, and superior and greater than Eidul Adha, 10th of Zulhijjah, and the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, all that. Then what time on a Friday? So remember, iltamisuha fil a ba'd al asri, babin ba'd al asri ila ghaybubat ash-shams. Look for the sa'i mustajaba, the time when du'as are accepted, from after asr, right up to time of sunset. So open Mishkat Sharif, you will find all these type of wordings. So we gave you everything now. We gave you the month, we gave you the date, we gave you the place, we gave you the exact time. And if you can do that, then it is nurun ala nur, then it's good. Otherwise, any time, any place also is fine. But best is what I told you now.
My mother-in-law, Ustad, tells us to serve our husbands, but she doesn't tell her daughters to have left their husbands for their careers. Ustad, anything?
So remember that this is a common problem, that there's a case of double standards. We don't say in all cases, we don't say in all mother-in-law and so forth, but in most of them, you will find for their daughters, they have a different law, different standards, and for their daughters-in-law, they'll have a different criteria and so forth. For example, she'll tell the daughter-in-law, you must do this for your husband, do this for your husband, meaning for her son, so that your sons and so forth. But when it comes to her daughter, what she, daughter or daughters, what they must do for the son-in-law, so then you will find it's a different ball game. So this is a case of double standards, obviously, and so forth. Therefore, we must be clear on this issue also. We don't have to curry favor with people or organizations or politicians or government. We have to present to you the Sharia. So if you have a daughter-in-law living with you, or she's nearby, so that whatever she's doing, remember that it is min babil ihsan. Really speaking, she's just doing you a favor. You know, if she cooks for you, or she's helping you in the kitchen, or she's doing A, B, C, other chores and so forth, it's not something compulsory upon her. And we will encourage her. We will tell her, daughter-in-law, that is what you should be doing. Remember that you will win your husband's heart over, you'll win your mother-in-law's heart over, and then you'll win over the credit card, debit card, everything over. So it's a very, very good thing to do that. But can you say it's compulsory? No, it's not compulsory. But when the husband tells his wife that she must cook for him, cook for the children, she must do this, do that, then it becomes compulsory upon her to do that, provided it is not something which is trampling upon the Sharia and against the Sharia. So that is what Islam is teaching us. And we should not have double standards. If you want a healthy and harmonious and cordial relationship, then you, the daughter-in-law, treat your mother-in-law like your mother. You also to blame the daughter-in-law. It's not that you must be saukar. You know, in Memon we got a nice word there. Say, it's a bo saukar I. You see, that you want to think that, no, everything we must just blame the mother-in-law. That's wrong also. So you also are to blame many a time. Remember that your mother-in-law tell you something, then you want to just pull up your face because you want to sleep, you want to watch TV, you want to watch World Cup, and all this haram nonsensical things. So we also is give and take in life. So you also must play your part and so forth. So you should try and treat your mother-in-law like your mother. Obviously it can't be the same, but at least to a certain extent. And your mother-in-law should treat the daughter-in-law like the daughter to a great extent, and then you will see there'll be harmonious relationship and so forth. So therefore, you know, when I was in Newcastle and so forth, and even here, so remember that, but more so in Newcastle, then what used to happen is that myself, my wife, then her mother is there and my mother is there, and everybody is happy, you know, and so forth. So what you need for this is jiska zarf bara ho, unka Allah jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. When you keep a big heart, magnanimous heart, then Almighty Allah will elevate you as well. So that is what is required, remember that.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see somebody says, your Ustad, is it sunnah to give the mudwife the leg of the animal from the aqiqah meat, Ustad?
Remember the day the baby is born, then you will give the adhan in the right ear, iqama in the left ear, and you will then make tahneek. You will take that, you know, date, kajur, soften it, and then just insert it there in the palate, you know, the upper portion of the mouth and so forth. So that is the sunnah. You make dua after that and so forth. Now today is Wednesday, so the baby is born today. So Yom Sabi', the seventh day, will be next week Tuesday. So is it sunnah that now, and what will you do on the seventh day? So you must remember last week Thursday, the wife gave birth. So today Wednesday is the seventh day. So what will we do today? So as a boy, we will slaughter two goats or two sheep. It's a girl, we will slaughter one goat or one sheep. Thereafter we'll name the baby. Thereafter, remember, we'll shave the hair. After shaving the hair, take zafran, saffron, you can mix it with a little bit low water, and then you apply it on the head of the baby. That is sunnah. Wannas wana ghafilun. People are unmindful of that. The hadith in Abu Dawood. And remember that you give some charity out to anybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, and you name the baby, as I told you. And then the aqiqah, you take the leg of the animal and you give it to the qabila. Qabila is the midwife. And if you want a reference of this, it's a sunnah 100%. The hadith is mentioned in Bayhaqi. When Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu warda, the beloved Nawasa, the Sibtu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi sallam, the beloved grandson of the Master sallallahu alayhi sallam's Milad Mubarak took place, his honorable birth took place. So Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, she married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha in the second year of the Hijrah during the month of Ramadan. The next year, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, his Milad honorable birth took place. In the fourth year of the Hijrah, that it was the month of Shaban, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's Mubarak Milad and honorable auspicious birth took place. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amara Fatima radiallahu anha. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha that the leg of the animal, the rijlil, you know, rijlil aqiqah, you give that to the qabila, to the midwife, and the reference you got is Bayhaqi 1. Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziya, the great celebrated student of Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah, has written a whole beautiful chapter, article on this in his wonderful book, Tuhfatul Mawdud. Tuhfatul Mawdud bi Ahkamil Mawlud. Excellent masterpiece of a book on this topic here. Everything related to birth, to the birth of the baby, of the child and so forth, you will find there inside. So he has given various references, but these are the easy ones to remember. Bayhaqi and his book also. So you can refer to that. So whenever you, daughter-in-law, wife, giving birth, so remember the leg of the animal that you give to the qabila. You give qabila in Arabic. You give to the midwife, and that is sunnatun nabawiyyah. These are two sunnats our people many a time. They forget about it, or they're ignorant about it, and they have abandoned these two sunnah. One, to shave the hair, and after shaving the hair, then you must apply zafran, saffron on the head of the baby after shaving the hair. And second one, that the animal, that the aqiqah animal, mashallah, then you give that leg of the animal to the qabila, to the midwife. So all those are sunnah, and we must revive every sunnah. Why? He, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Surah, Allah Ta'ala says, Surah 3, verse 31, قل إن كنتم تحبون الله. You address them, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and inform them, if you really love Almighty Allah, فاتبعوني, follow me immaculately. When we revive the sunnah, practice on the sunnah of the Master صلى الله عليه وسلم, يحببكم الله, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah, ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم, and your sins will also be forgiven. Surah 3 verse 31.
Listen to this one, Ustad. I have a month old baby. Just after I gave birth, he divorced me. Must aqiqah still be done for my baby daughter, Ustad? I'm going through a nervous breakdown. Make dua, Mufti Aki, Allah take me and my baby away from this dunya soon. Ameen. Anonymous, Ustad.
Here there are three different issues. Issue number one is that mashallah, Allah Ta'ala blessed you with a baby girl. So all the expenses for that baby girl is compulsory upon the father. If he doesn't pay you, oh, divorce wife now, so you must take him to court and you must make sure he pays for that. All the expenses, whether it's the clothing, whether it's the food, whether it's the rental, whether it's the water lights, whether it is the medication, everything he must pay for. You must remember that. And that is Islamic law. And this will continue right till the day she gets married, after 18, 20, 22 years, whatever the case might be. So that responsibility, onus and responsibility is on him. Second one is this, after you gave birth, then was your nifas. So regarding nifas, your postnatal, you must remember the Hanafis humbly say, the maximum period is 40 days, and the Shafi'is, Maliki say 60 days, right? Then you say after a month, so let's say plus minus after your nifas. So what happened was, Allah alone knows what happened between you and your husband. It's supposed to be a great occasion, happy occasion. You just gave birth, baby girl and so forth. So Allah knows who's right, who's wrong. So we normally say both parties are wrong. But nevertheless, now we say that he issued a talaq. So if he issued one talaq, there's one. And if he issued two talaq, two divorce, then it's two. If he issued three talaq, then it's three. So you have to sit in iddat down. So your iddat will be Surah 2 and verse number 228. والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء. So what is the meaning of three قروء? Three قروء, Hanafis humbly say three menses. So remember, when your third menses ends, so after the talaq and so forth, then remember your iddat will finish up. And thereafter the Shafi'is and Malikis say it refers to three periods of cleanliness. So when the third period of cleanliness expires and finishes, then the iddat will expire. So that's second issue. Third issue, now you are devastated. Who must pay for the aqiqah? He must pay for the aqiqah. He must pay for all the expenses, as I explained. Now you are devastated. One side you got a small baby, 1-2 months old, whatever the case is now, and thereafter he divorced you. You feel that the whole world's problem has come on you. Qiyamah has come upon you. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not permissible for a Muslim person, lidurrin asabahu, that when a calamity afflicts him, then what he or she does, yatamannawna al-maut. Now you start saying, Ya Allah, give me death, so that you must withdraw. That statement you must take back. So you keep positive with Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and say, Ya Allah, give me the strength, give my child the strength, and we will continue with life. And what you're going to read? Surah 46, with the beginning of 26 Supara. Surah 46, verse 15. So the 26 Jews, 26 Supara, verse 15, 1-5. It's a long verse, see in the middle. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. O Almighty Allah, bring about reform, piety, goodness in my progeny. So you must make dua for your child and so forth. And remember, if you want to resettle and so forth. So all that is permissible after the iddat expires. You read, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyati ayatina qurrata ayun. Therefore, Islam imposed upon you iddat, so you are not caught on the rebound. You can think it out properly and clearly what you want to do. Do you want to remain a single parent? Do you want to remarry? So all these things you make istikhara, you ask Almighty Allah for assistance. And whenever the thought comes, negativity, that is better I and my daughter we die and so forth. So these are the wasawis and waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. So say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, and beg Almighty Allah, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiya. Ya Allah, give me and my beloved daughter forgiveness for me, and give me and my daughter afiya, that health, wealth, you know, protection, whatever our needs are, you fulfill it. Read even now in your iddat and all that, read the Asma'ullah al-Husna, that the 99 names of Almighty Allah, and you will get great solace, and you will be pacified, inshallah, and Allah Ta'ala will accept your du'as, and because you are a lady now, that you are so hazin and mahzoon and so sad and so forth, Ana ma'amun kasiratil kulub. I am, Allah Ta'ala says, Hadith Qudsi, those people whose hearts are broken, so I am with them, and you will find in Maqasid Hasana this type of ahadith. So therefore, you should in Islam, at all types, all places, things go our way, alhamdulillah. Things go 100% our way, alhamdulillah bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. Things go against us, then alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And if you want to read the whole thing, Allah al whole dua, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Wa na'udhu bika min hali ahli an-nar. We seek your protection from the condition of the people of Jahannam, the hadith in Tirmidhi. So everything Islam is teaching us, we must remain positive in all circumstances, all instances, all cases. So that is what Islam is teaching us, sister.
I see the sister is crying, Ustad, and she says that my husband is a Molana, and you know him, Ustad. The sister wants your personal number, Ustad, maybe to contact you, maybe you can speak to that Molana, that's her husband, but of course now the divorce was done.
No, it's finished now, you must remember that, speak to his teachers or whoever you want, and so forth, he'll give us long story and all that, I don't get involved in these things there, so if you want, speak to his teachers and all of them, and then maybe if he gave one talaq or so, then you can reconcile, or even two, but if it's three, we can't do anything. So remember, but make sure, Molana or not Molana, he must pay everything. And if I don't pay, you don't waste time with Jamiat and Molanas and Molvis and me, and we can't do anything. You must go straight to court. You don't pay, then you send him tong to. That he must go to jail. So remember this. That and that they treat quite seriously. So remember this. And you can give 101 reasons. If there was gender-based violence or any time he hit you, assaulted you. I'm not saying you must lie and make propaganda. I'm saying that if it happened and so forth, you must make a list of all these things there that are serious, serious offenses. And it's not that just one day you wake up and give talaq. There are a lot of issues must have taken place. Allah, that's why I told you just now, in most cases, I normally say, it's not the husband is right and your wife is wrong, or the wife is right and husband is wrong. I say 99%, 90%, both parties are wrong. So therefore, my advice, you want to contact somebody, contact his, you know where he studied, who's his teachers, who's his principal. Speak to them and see what you can do.
Before we go to Ba, the sister says three talaqs, Ustad, and physical abuse. He hit me so much that once I did have a miscarriage. And I see Ba says here, on a serious note, dear Mufti Sahab, what is wrong with the ulama, with the maulanas? Why can't they be like you? Ba, Ustad.
Remember now, Ba, you also going to another level. You can't go paint all the maulanas with the same brush and all that. You get characters in every field. You get the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, and all that, you know. So all that, so now. So if what you are saying is true, so you can judge him for all that. So you must remember that. For physical abuse and what have you, and gender-based violence and so forth. And if you gave 3 talaq, then you can't do anything much. But make sure that you must remember that he must pay. That is the main, most important. And not for 1-2 months. He has to pay for the next 20 years till she gets married, remember. I'm just using 20 as example. So remember, if she gets married at the age of 18 or whatever, he has to pay for all that, he's a baby. And he has to pay for the rental also, because why? Where is she going to stay? She's going to stay with you, and he's responsible for that. So he must pay for all these things there. So that is what you must understand.
Somebody says, we have to address our mother-in-laws, Ustad, as mommy. If we don't, are we wrong for that, Ustad?
Remember this, it's not necessary that you address a mommy any word of respect and so forth. So for example, my mother-in-law was with me, I told you 100 times, she passed away, yeah, she was blind. I used to call her Masi. So Masi means Khala, and Khala means maternal auntie, mother, sister. He, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Al-Khala to be mansilatil the Khala, the Masi, and the maternal auntie takes the place of the mother. So you want to call her Ummi, you want to call her Mum, you want to call her Khala, you want to call her Masi, any words, auntie, whatever, any word of respect, so Islamically, all that will be fine and acceptable.
Ustad, regarding your program, inshallah, listeners want to know what's Mufti Saab's program. I think you will be leaving today, inshallah, Ustad.
Inshallah, we'll be leaving today. Our first stop, inshallah, Hafiz Anwar Pochi. He studied by me there in Dalum, Newcastle in 1981. He's my neighbor also. I am from Heidelberg, originally Transvaal, old Transvaal. And he's from Nigel, you know, just 10 miles, 11 miles or so, the nearest town to Heidelberg. 76, when I came first time from Karachi, they had no imam there to perform Taraweeh. So then, you know, I used to go. There was a Maulana Mayat, so myself and him used to make. Sometime Bichara used to tell me that you must make all 20. You know, when it's time for Taraweeh, he said, no, today Tabiyat Tikney, you know. So then I used to do it, mashallah. So I used to go every night there with my brother, and then they take me, and then they come back. So anyway, cut long story short, so inshallah, today we will be Asr time, that is the schedule and the program, inshallah al-Aziz, day in Freyheit, where Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Qatada's Madrasa Rahimahullah is. So there is a program for the students. And then Maghrib time in Masjid Abu Huraira, where Mawlana Ibrahim Rawat is, mashallah, the Imam. So there is program after Maghrib and till Isha and so forth. I think the Isha will be delayed or whatever. And thereafter that, you know, is all the meals and what have you. And we'll be staying there. Then tomorrow, Thursday, inshallah, that before Zuhur time, I must be in Denhauser. And then in Denhauser, they just refurbished their masjid and so forth. So there you got Zahir, the son of, you know, Musa Haji, mashallah, Haji Musa Haji. So anyway, so we'll have a short program there, 10-15 minutes after Zuhur. That's Thursday afternoon after Zuhur. Then at night, mashallah, there's a wonderful occasion. 3 youngsters completed Hifz. So Maghrib to Isha will be the program, the Hifz Jalsa in Denhauser Masjid. So Denhauser got 2 programs there. Then from there, after Isha, we'll move on to Dundee, Hafiz Salim, the Dokrat, his son Hafiz Lukman, Dokrat, mashallah. So we'll be there, sleeping there by them. And then Friday morning after Fajr and Friday Jummah, all that day in Dundee. And then we'll come to Newcastle, inshallah. And then Friday night, it is after Maghrib, in Masjid Siddiq is our program, mashallah. And then Saturday, Sunday is the Darulum Newcastle Jalsa. So we'll be there Saturday and Sunday. And then inshallah, we'll return. Allah Jalla wa'ala accept it. Allah Ta'ala take us safely, bring us back safely as well, and make it a means of hidayat for humanity. And we must not forget our principal, Hazrat Muhammad Qasim Sema Rahimahullah. He started this Darulum, Jungle ko Mangal bana diya. If you study Darulum Newcastle, 14 acres of land. It was jungle. and no water, no electricity, nothing. Maulana and Appa Sakina, Maulana's wife, first wife, the sacrifice they made, all that. So we can't forget all that. And it's 50 years now, end of this year, that Darul Newcastle, I always say Darul Newcastle is the mother of all the Darul Ulooms in South Africa. And Maulana Qasim Sema, Rahimullah, is the father of all the Darul Ulooms here in South Africa. And then remember, if you go to Darul Ulum Karachi, where we studied also, so there, one South African family from Azadwal, and that is, they donated that land, 56 acres. Remember, their total jungle. So today is one of the biggest Darul Ulum and one of the most famous Darul Ulum. Hazrat Mufti Shafii Sahib Rahimullah passed away on 10th Shawwal. Just now I told you of 10th Shawwal, you must get married. He passed away, Hazrat Mufti Shafii Sahib, Grand Mufti of Pakistan, in 1976. And now, you know, 2 weeks ago his son passed away, and Maulana Rafi Usmani and so forth. So now Mufti Taqi Usmani will run the show and so forth. So that is what happens. We must remember, you must learn all this so you come to know, see the Varavya family here from Azadwal. Whoever their father, grandfather, whoever donated that land. So from that time onwards, 1950 till now, over 70 years, subhanallah, all the sadaqah jariya gone to him. What a great investment it was. So that, these are the type of things that we should remember.
Well, it's exactly now 24 minutes to 12. We go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
When it's 22 minutes to 12, before we take the next question, somebody says here, Ustaz, that I listened to the blissful of marriage, but not once Mufti AK lash the alims who are making zulam to their wives. That's one. The other one says, also is anonymous, Mufti said, my husband is a mufti and he's a zalim and stingy, Ustaz.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just now what I said. I said you can't now 2-3 alim, 2-3 muftis, 10 of them do something wrong. So you can't go and paint everybody and say every molvi, every alim, every imam, every mufti sheikh is a zalim and does. That's wrong. Remember that. Just now what I told the lady. I told her that Maulana or no Maulana, if he doesn't pay, you must remember, for your daughter, the expenses and that, leave all the jamiats, leave all the ulama, and you must go to court and lay a charge against him, and if he assaulted you, you must lay all those charges. Never mind, let him go wrong too, he can go to prison also. So we must be fair in our verdict and judgment. Not the emotions get the better of us and so forth and so on. So if you got married to a Maulana or to the Mufti Sahib or Qari Sahib or whoever, and now he is a zalim, he's stingy and so forth and so on. So speak to him when he's in a good mood and tell him that this is this what Quran Hadith teaches us? So you must quote the Quran Sharif and tell him, you don't know the verse, at least the meaning you can say. Surah 4, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, with respect and justice. How you want your daughter-in-law, how you want your daughter to be treated by your son-in-law, how you want your daughter to be treated by your son-in-law, you must treat your wife better than that. That should be your criteria and barometer. Second one, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Last week the Imam of the Haram also quoted it. When he quoted it, I was smiling because I quoted so much. Khayrukum khayrukum li ahli, that the best one of you are the best one to his wife and children. And wa ana khayrukum li ahli, I Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am the best one of you. That I set the precedent for humanity and posterity, for my wives and my children. So that is what we must learn, remember that. So you must speak to your husbands, and they don't listen, then he's a Maulana, he's Imam, he's Muftisa, and Qarisa. You know his teachers, you know his principles, speak to them. So at least then maybe you'll make some headway in that. But again, I'm saying, we can't go paint the paint everybody with the same brush. I mean, that's not right. Remember, that we can't do. That is unacceptable. Islamically, logically, also is unacceptable.
084-786-3132. Somebody says here, Ustad, that my mom had 3 children. We are 2 girls. And my brother is marhum. How should her wealth be distributed? My brother had 1 son only, Ustad.
You see, if you want me to solve the problem, then I need the chronological table. So I will answer the questions. I will ask the questions and you must answer quickly. So who passed away first? Did your brother pass away first or did your mother pass away first? So who passed away first? Quickly, quickly, we need to answer. So first thing we will do when a Muslim person passes away, first will be burial, funeral expenses, then you take from the estate or the heirs or any family member or friend wants to pay, so that's permissible. Second is the debts of the deceased. All that must be paid immediately, not after 40 days and 100 days. So remember the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, in Ibn Majah, various compilations. Nafsul mu'mini mu'allaqatun biduyunihi hatta tubda anhu. That deceased person, even though he's Muslim, he'll never enter Jannah until and unless the debts of the deceased are paid. You know, justice delayed is justice denied. And the third one, remember, is wasiyah. Wasiyah is for non-heirs. So remember that. And now you can bequeath for your brothers, sisters, and so forth. If there's a son there, for example. Or you can bequeath for your neighbor, Muslim, non-Muslim. But maximum 1/3 of the net estate. And fourth one will come the shares of the heirs. So what they say, who passed away first, Mona?
It says here, my brother, then mom is alive. That's what it says.
Yeah, so remember, so now the status quo is this. So you must remember, now the status quo is this. So when he passed away, that is, your brother passed away, so his wife and his children and them, they inherited, and mommy will inherit from there. Right? Because you say he's got a son also. So you, the siblings, you are out of the equation. And remember, so your brother passed away, so I don't know at that time whether your parents both were alive or only mommy was alive. If both were alive, then you must remember 1616. Okay? So to the parents. Parents. And if one is alive, 1/6. And the residue, remainder, will go to his son. And you siblings, nothing for you. You must just say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. So that is one estate. So that is your brother's estate. Now, if your mom passes away, so remember who will be the heirs. So again, the same table, first burial, funeral expenses, then the debts of the deceased, then remember the wasiyah for non-heirs, and then you will come to, you must remember this here, the shares of the heirs. So you will say that there are 2 daughters, isn't it so? So you will say 2 daughters, and in a case like that, the 2 daughters will take the 2/3, and then your brother, he's got a son, so Ibnul Ibn, we say, so the residue will go to him, and that, you know, that the nephew of your people's. So remember, he will get the remainder. So it's straightforward. You all will be 3, so 2 daughters and 1 grandson. So 1/3, 1/3, 1/3, finish. That's how you solve the problem, and everybody's happy, inshallah.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Ustad. Somebody says here, Ustad, can I marry my wife's sister when my wife passes on, who is also my late brother's wife? Anonymous, we start.
So you must remember that you marry your wife's sister. So now, after your wife passed away, then you can marry her, provided that she is not in the nikah of anybody else. If she's in the nikah of somebody else, then it's haram. All this is in the Quran, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verses 23, 24. You can't have 2 biological sisters one time in your nikah. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. So remember, there's not permission. possible. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala an was married to Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha. Then she passed away in the second year. So remember of the hijrah. And remember, that is why Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an could not participate in the battle of Badr, because he was looking after the beloved daughter of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his honorable wife. Thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, fine, now you can marry my other daughter. And then he married Sayyida Umme Kulthum radiallahu anha. And therefore he has the title Zunnurain, the possessor of the two radiances, the two lights and so forth. The two beloved daughters, honorable daughters of the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is permissible. And when you want to marry your wife who passed away, her sister, she must not be in the nikah or the iddat of anybody. So that is not permissible. Quran says, Surah 4, verse 24, Wal muhsanatu min nisa. You can't go married to another person's wife. So one husband per lady. You can't have two husbands per lady. So that is the law. But so if your wife passed away, and you want to marry her sister, and she's not married to anybody else, or she was married, but that husband passed away, or she got divorced from that husband, the iddat is finished, all that, and you want to marry her, totally permissible, there's no problem with that.
So there's a single young man, he says here, masturbate to keep away from zina. I'm single young man, I'm 23 years old. Any du'as, Ustad?
Remember, du'as alone don't help, my brother. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, was a genius. So Imam Shafi'i became Hafiz at the age of 7. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, by heart and memorized Mu'atta Malik, his beloved teacher's book, at the age of 10. So you must remember that Mu'atta Malik, you know what hadith and all that. And then at the age of 15, his ustad, Muslim, not Imam Muslim, there's another one. So Muslim Zanji, the African teacher. So remember, was so impressed with him, he said, you're an abqari, you're a genius. So remember, at the age of 15, he just told him verbally, wa ajaza lahu bil ifta. He told him, you can start issuing fatawa and verdicts. So when Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was asked, ma hukmul istimna, what is the ruling regarding masturbation? See what a genius he is. So he read this verse, Surah 23, and verses 5, 6, 7. Surah 23, chapter 23, verses 5, 6, and 7. If you don't understand the surah and verse business, the beginning of the 18th supara, the beginning of the 18th juz, I read for you. So who are the true, pakka, sacha, musulman, the true, dedicated, devoted Muslims? Well, so Surah 23, verse 5. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. They are those people, you must remember, who guard their private part, right? Then when they can't fulfill their lust and desires, إِلَّا لَا أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. So they go to their husbands, they go to their wives, and they fulfill their lust and desires. And in those days they were the female slaves, so they could go to the slave also and fulfill the desire. Today there's no slaves and so that will not be applicable now. Then Imam Shafi quoted this verse, Surah 23 and verse 7, فَمَنْ اِبْتَغَىٰ وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ. فَمَنْ اِبْتَغَىٰ وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ. Whosoever seeks and goes beyond that. Now, you go and do DIY. You do it yourself, masturbating, male or female. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. They are the transgressors. So it's a major sin in Islam that. So what must you do, my brother? Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressing the youth, like you. You're bursting with energy. And now you're getting lust and desire, and you're becoming hot, like you see. Too much dates and too much food and dessert and dust and so forth. So you must cool down. So manista ta'a minkumul ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Whosoever of you got the financial, physical means to get married, so get married immediately. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَدُّ لِلْبَصَرُ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجُ. So it will keep your gaze down and protect your private part as well. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِي. And those of you who can't get married, you don't have the means, you don't have financial means, physical means, whatever it is, you have some problem. فَأَلَيْهِ بِصَوْمٍ. So he must fast. Monday, Thursday, twice a week, thrice a week, keep fast. فَإِنَّ الصَّوْمَ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Because that fasting will crush his desires, will break the desires. So you can't go say, no, I fear I will commit zina, fornication, and therefore I'm masturbating and it's permissible. No. Fornication is much worse. 100 lashes. We did yesterday's lesson also for both parties. And remember that a masturbation is less a sin compared to fornication, zina, adultery. But still it's a sin. And I gave you the dalil and evidence. So therefore, what will be the way and the solution? So you should fast and cry to Allah. Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu warda, one of the grand muftis of the Sahaba, faqihu hadhil ummah, he used to say, iltamisul ghina fin nikah. You're wondering now that I have to look after my wife and so forth. So get married and Allah will give you richness through the barakah and blessing of nikah. So in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur, you will find this fatwa and verdict of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So everything you will find in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah, in the fatwa, verdict, advices of Sahaba, in the advices of Awliyaullah and the four schools. So that is Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, brother.
Ustad, the sisters in Newcastle, they want to know if they can arrange a small Q&A for the sisters in Newcastle. But of course, strictly, brother, Ustad, you know a lot of people in Newcastle. Can they do that for you, Ustad?
So remember, 20 years I was there, January 81 to 2001, January. Until now, we're no more in your kitchen and here and there or classroom. We're right in the bedroom now. So every day we got Q&A. Make mouth, there won't be any time for all that Q&A and all these things there. Because my schedule, I'm just looking at it, is so hectic and so forth. So I got this appointment, that appointment, and so many things. So inshallah, that whatever lectures, like for example, Friday night, I will be there in Paradise, Masjid al-Siddiq. And mashallah, Newcastle is well organized. So you got different masajid on the Bilal receiver. In your houses, you can listen to it, mashallah. So there's no problem. And then the Darulum Jalsa also on the Bilal receiver, you can listen to it. So why you must have all this problem and so forth? Come here, come there and all. So you got so many ulama there now, mashallah. Most of them are my students also. So they'll give you all the answers also, inshallah.
I see the sister says, we know what Mufti Saab like and Apa Fatima like. Memanak Newstad.
Yeah, but she's not coming. You must remember that. She's getting tired of all this traveling, jump, going from this place, and then luggage here, luggage. I stay at home. So inshallah, myself and our Hafiz Anwar Poochi, we will be coming inshallah. So, you know, if you study his history, Anwar Poochi, mashallah, so his father and them and mother, I don't know about his mother too much, but his father and them all were there in Stenerton. Stenerton, there the town masjid. So mashallah, that is where my mother, my nani ma, grandmother, all of them were there. And the sage of the age, Hazrat Mohana Zubair Ali Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, was there. And then there, my mamaji, my mama became first Memon Hafiz in the history of South Africa, 1942 to 1944. Hafiz Umar Suleiman. So he's buried there in Middleburg. So mashallah, he studied there by Hazrat Mohana Zubair Ali. When I was 5 years old, 6, 7 years old, like that. So whenever my parents would go Leslie. Now it's called Leandra. So Allah just put in my heart, with Allah's fiddle everything happens, and Allah's mercy. Then I used to just go with my parents. Every second week, third week, they were there. So then, I don't understand what they speak, but we used to call Mama Ji. That's it, Mohammed Zubair Ali. So remember, then Mama Ji will embrace me and make dua and so forth. My mother used to say, dua karwanu ke poiro Hafiz tai. So he never made dua for Hafiz only, he made dua for much, much more, you see. So Allah Ta'ala bless them, Allah grant them the highest, highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Those great, great awliya they were.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. I don't know, somebody says here, Mufti Saab, if you're going to do justice for the sisters in Newcastle, you're not doing justice to your place, Heidelberg. The sisters also waiting for the Q&A deal time.
Everybody is waiting, so you must remember that. So Heidelberg, we spent 16, 17 years, and then we went. I was reading about Imam Bukhari, Rahimahullah. So when he was 16 years old, so he decided, now I must go out and go study. So Alhamdulillah, we were around there also. And then we went to Karachi, first time we went overseas and so forth, you know. So long story, but Heidelberg now, inshallah, we'll come there again. It's my hometown, you must remember that. So it's not hadith, it's always, you must remember, just a saying. But people confuse hadith and proverbs and saying, Hubbul watani minal iman. So today I'm just thinking, I must squeeze in the graveyard, all that, because come Heidelberg, my parents are there, my brothers are there, all. So I have to go. So now I have to do all the juggling little bit, you know. So, and then we have to be there on time and all that. But Allah will make everything easy for us, inshallah al-Aziz.
There's somebody says a parent will always be a parent, no matter how wrong their kids are. But Mufti Saab, my kids are going to hell. Will we go with them for covering their faults? Anonymous Ustad.
See, there are three things here you must remember. I give you the reference of each one. Number one, Surah 66, verse 6. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala states, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ku anfusakum wa ahalikum nara. That you, the parents, you must save yourself and save your children, your family, your grandchildren from the fire. So always make amal bil ma'ruf, nahy anil munkar, with love, with wisdom and so forth. You must teach them what is right and what is wrong and so forth. Don't try and cover up and justify their wrong when they continuously doing upside down things and wrong things. One, two times mistakes happen, all that is different. But continuously, obviously, you can't justify that. You see, the wrong we do, I told you all this 100 times, the C syndrome, A, B, C. So when they grow up, we gave them clothing, we gave them computers, we gave them CDs, we gave them cell phones, we gave them cash, we gave them cars. So every C we gave them. But ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. The greatest seed, O father, mother, you can give your beautiful, wonderful children is character, good character. Let us be honest, leave non-Muslims. How many Muslim parents in this day and this age really worry and are concerned about the character of their children? As long as they pass the examination, they get their certificate, get their degrees, bring in money, everything, lungile, everything fine. That building the character, teaching them what is Islam, all that. I told you 100 times, my Nanima used to come Heidelberg. We were in the old place there. And there was no all those carpets and all that. So you have tapete, lino. Half the time the lino also got torn and so forth. And you call tapete. And then we just sit on the floor. Nanima tell us stories. Some stories she told us. Allah grant the Jannatul Firdaus. She passed away 27 night. Till today I can't find the reference, but it's not important that she instilled within us the love of Almighty Allah, the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Ahlul Bayt, the family of Nabi alayhi salam, the love of Sahaba and Awliyaullah. So that is what they did. Today we all sitting and watching World Cup, all sitting and watching Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood. That is what happens. So number one, parents is your responsibility. Second one, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it clearly. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyya. Each one of you is a shepherd and each one will be questioned regarding their flock. So we all must be held responsible. And third one, when you, O parent, that you justify, you cover up what your son, daughter is doing, that you call asabiyya. Asabiyya means, they ask, Ya Rasulallah, uhibbu qawmi, I love my people, is that asabiyya? I said, no. Then, wala asabiyya, Ya Rasulallah. قَالَ أَن تُعِينَهُمْ عَلَىٰ ظُلْمٍ. You know they're wrong, and yet you're assisting them in their wrong. Go open Mishkat Sharif, you'll find it there, whole chapter on Asabiyah. So that is where we go wrong. Our love becomes so blind that we don't want this denial. We live in denial. So that is unacceptable, remember that. Always make dua for them. And inshallah, the parents, dua today is Wednesday. After Zuhur Salat, read 2 rakat Salat, cry to Allah for ourselves, our children, the Ummah and Muslimah. Inshallah, Allah will make easy and accept it. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidahullah. Allah Ta'ala take our Ustad safely, inshallah, and protect him in his journey, inshallah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.